on radio, streaming live on investtalk.com, and for our podcast subscribers. This is InvestTalk, above average investing for the average investor. InvestTalk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. And now, here's KPP Financial President, Portfolio Manager Steve Peasley.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Friday edition of InvestTalk. I'm glad you're with me today. Every Friday morning, our premium newsletter goes out to our subscribers but via email. We try to make it a quick and handy way to keep you up to date on economic news and things that might impact investors, provide some timely information. That's what we try to do. The market summary section is talking about the latest mix of economic numbers we've had this week. And what's the problems are around the world. I mean, our economic news has been kind of weak, and is as a report for January's numbers. Okay, so we saw that all February weak economic numbers, but not negative, just weak. In other words, they're still growing, but you compare that with Europe, we're much better than they, and I mentioned that in the newsletter. And we have a couple of stock ideas listed there, things that I can't really give you stock ideas on the radio, but I can give you some stocks to put on your watch list in the newsletter. And there's a portfolio management section about how to help manage your own portfolios, if that's what you're interested in, give you some lessons on how to do that. And so hopefully this newsletter, this premium newsletter, helps you, the consumer, you. We also have a consumer watch section about, free shipping. Today we talked about shopping sites that have free shipping, stuff like that. Just interesting thing. You can try the premium newsletter for a month at no cost. Subscribe for a year at a discount. You can sign up now on investtalk.com if you want. Scroll down to the bottom of the page. During this 1 hour, I hope to talk with you directly. We're live 4 to 5 Pacific time, Monday through Friday. Our number is 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. It's now time for the Q&A portion. Let's go ahead and take a question from our 24-hour listener line.
Yes, this is Bo from San Diego. I currently retired, and I'm 55 years old, and I have money in a TSP account, and I have it in the government securities. I was wondering if it would be wise to move the money over into what they call the F fund, which is security and bonds. I currently have it in the G fund, and I wanted to know if it would be wise to put money in the F fund of a TSP account. Okay, thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Now, those letters that he's talking about, F fund, G fund, that's the types of funds available to people with have a certain retirement account, usually a public city, state, or schools TSP fund type account. And he's asking, since he is retired, and he retired fairly young at 55, the G fund, if I remember right, is more aggressive, the growth fund, I think that's what it is. And he wants to know if he should move into the less aggressive income fund. And I think that's what he's asking when he mentions those types of funds. And at 55, you probably should start to migrate over to a more conservative type account because you retired. You can't make up this money. You can't. The stock market is a risky place. Remember, it lost 45% in 2008. Can you afford to lose 45%? Yeah, you'll make it up again. You will, but it will take time, and you're retired. So I'm a little concerned. Now, that doesn't mean you have to move it all over, because I do think everybody needs growth in their retirement accounts. But I do think, as a retired person, you need to start be a little bit more cautious. Now, obviously, I don't have all the information I need, like how much money do you have? How much money are you getting in retirement? Are you getting a pension? Are you relying on Social Security when that comes up? What money are you living on right now until you get Social Security? I don't have any of that information. So I can only answer the question presented to me based on the very limited information he provided. Okay. 10 common tax filing mistakes to avoid. Well, there's always tax filing mistakes to avoid, right? But I'm going to give you some of the most common ones to avoid. The ones that the IRS says are the most common, which you can avoid. But you're still going to make them. It's just maybe we got to be more careful. Data shows strong consumers but weak businesses. The data out this month? What am I talking about? Did you see the GDP number this morning? It's part of this conundrum we're in. Strong consumers, weak businesses. Talk about that. And should you roll a regular IRA, which is better, and should you roll all your regular IRA to your Roth? Do you know what the difference is? We'll talk about both that. And why the housing market just could soar this year. It could go up strong this year. Why? Now, I'm not saying it will, but, there are some reasons why it could. But so we're going to talk about that today. And, though, of course, the show is all about you. What do you want to talk about? What's on your mind? Okay, that's what we really want to talk about. Today, the market was down. Dow was down 81 points. The S&P was down 6, and the Nasdaq was down 24. So how did the market do for the month? Because this was the last trading day of the month. Well, if you look at the S&P, it was a fairly strong month. It was a fairly strong month for the Nasdaq and the S&P. Excuse me. So it was not a bad month at all. Because in December and January, it was a lot of up and down, up and down. And then it bottomed right at the beginning of February and kind of marched up. In the last few days, it started to kind of roll down a little bit, but nothing of significance. So we have new highs set 3 or 4 days ago. So I kind of think that the market is, seems to getting a little fatigued here, but we'll see. We're going to need some more catalysts to keep going. 888-99-CHART. Remember, you can register for our free webinar, The Upside of Low Oil Prices, right there on investtalk.com. Mark your calendar for March 19th, 6:30 p.m. March 19th, 6:30 p.m. You can sign up now at investtalk.com and look for the InvestTalk tab at the top of the page. 888-992-4278. We're going to talk to Art in Menlo Park. How are you doing, Art?
Good, Steve. How are you today?
Good. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, actually, I was looking to buy some of this Acorn, AKRX.
Okay.
But it doesn't seem like it wants to pull back at all.
Yeah, it's not good.
And it just had like a real good earnings just yesterday. I was just wondering, you think there's much more upside to this?
Well, it's got a lot of forward momentum, that's for sure, because the earnings were a surprise on the upside, and sales growth is getting went to the triple digits sales growth in the last quarter. So, over 100%. And earnings are going to be $1.82 this year and $2.14 next year. It was $1.16 last year. I mean, all the numbers are increasing. The growth is increasing. The earnings are increasing. It's not like they're topping out. They haven't topped out so far. But because of that, the stock is pretty well overpriced. I mean, the five-year P.E. average, P.E. range, five-year P.E. range is 13 to 48, and right now it's at 45. But it's still going to grow huge numbers going forward. And if it continues to do that, this will keep going up. But I think you should get a pullback, but maybe it won't. You could buy, Art, if you really like it, maybe buy a half position now and buy the other half on a pullback.
Yeah, that sounds probably like a good idea. All right, Steve, thanks a lot.
Appreciate the call, Art. Thank you. That was Acorn Inc. develops pharmaceuticals in specialty areas such as ophthalmology, hospital drugs, injectables. A-K-R-O-R-N Inc. Acorn, and the symbol is A-K-R-X. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. What is on your mind? What do you want to talk about? Whatever you want to talk about, we'll talk about it. How's that? Pretty easy. How about not making mistakes on your tax return? These are the most common mistakes. So since they're the most common, according to the IRS, since they're the most common, maybe just by talking about them, you can avoid them. The biggest mistake is math calculations. Now, of course, We're talking about the easy form, the 1040 form. Math calculations, miscalculations. People don't do the math right. Now, that the advent of tax software has helped this area a lot, but you still got to punch in the right numbers. So that's a problem. That, and then what happens is you have computation errors. You might have punched in the right numbers, but didn't. Excuse me. I'm still fighting my cold. I apologize. Didn't do the right math. Misspelled or different names is a common mistake. Don't misspell your name. Don't spell it different than last tax year. Spell it the same year after year after year. Be careful of making direct deposits in multiple accounts. You can do it. When you have the IRS send you your refund, you can ask them to make direct deposits, and you can do it in multiple accounts. I don't know why you would, but you can, and that seems to cause a lot of errors because you've got to give the right account numbers. And there you are typing in wrong numbers. So, filing status errors, single, had a household, joint filings. Make sure you're not making a mistake there. And the Social Security numbers, make sure that. So these are all things you really, really, really look at before you send it in. You look at it, you do it twice, you maybe look at it three times. Just be careful. That's all this is. I mean, all these things for these common mistakes is because people are in a rush or not looking at what they're doing, not being careful. So be careful. Okay? 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. I apologize for my voice today. And because it is, I am fighting a chest cold. I hate those things. I don't get them too often, but I apologize. I'm going to talk about, because we just mentioned tax time, I want to talk about the Roth or regular IRAs. I get these questions all the time. Should I have a Roth IRA or a regular IRA? And, there's not one answer that fits all. So we're going to talk about that in depth today. Did you hear about Vladimir Putin's rival, one of his biggest critics, got assassinated today? Doesn't surprise me. Don't go against, the dictator Putin. I wouldn't. It's not been reported in the news, or very little. The Ukraine issue, the civil war in Ukraine, where the Russians are backing the separated, whatever they call them, in Ukraine, is still going on. It's worse than it ever has been. There was supposed to be a ceasefire last week, agreed to by the EU people, certain, like Merkel of Germany and Vladimir Putin. It's supposed to take place last Sunday. It didn't happen. And there's more fighting going on. And now, but it's not in our news. You notice that? How come? It should be. I think it's pretty big news. Russia expanding their borders, basically. I think that would be important to know, but not in there. I'm Portfolio Manager Steve Peasley. The reason why I think it's important is because there's going to be more turmoil in Europe because of this. And a lot of, and that's going to hurt or help different economies different ways. And Russia is has the key for energy in Europe. It's important. 888-99-CHART, how you reach us. You can do it right now. I'm ready for your call. Give us a call.
Our InvestTalk podcast distribution is made possible by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. Why not make use of this free risk analysis tool? It takes about 5 minutes. You don't have to sign up for anything. But it can be a first step in learning how your current retirement portfolio lines up with your tolerance for risk. Look for the blue box and free risk analysis tool right there on InvestTalk.com.
888-992-4278. InvestTalk is a two-way conversation. But if you have a question between programs, you can still ask. And we'll play it on the next InvestTalk. We're here for you. 888-99-CHART.
Hi, this is Meena. I really enjoy your show. Hey, I have a question on GM, General Motors. Just wanted to know your take on it. What's your value? I'm thinking of buying it. Do you think this is a good time? Thank you so much. Bye.
I am not a big big auto company owner. I don't favor auto companies very much. Just like airlines, I have trouble with them because there's so many things that can go wrong. Now, GM, General Motors, of course, came out of bankruptcy in the depth of the recession. Manufacturers of automobiles, everybody knows who GM is. They're going to make $4.53 this year after making $3.04 last year, and then $4.85 next year. And the stock is at 37 with a, and that makes it a pretty reasonable PE. It's way under 10% based on next year's earnings. But auto companies generally have low PEs, except for Tesla, which is extremely overpriced. So it pays a 3.2% dividend. So you buy this really for the dividend. You want to buy it cheap. $38. It was at $38 last July, and it's now $37.31. It's bouncing off or down from $38 a little bit. I think you want to wait because it was as low as $30 here just in October. So I think you're going to get another bounce down, and I would wait for that. This is one of those companies that you're going to hold for a long term, big blue chip company, and you're trying to get the maximum dividend yield, a 3.2% here at $37.31. If it was at $32, you know, that dividend yield would look a little bit more attractive. I am not keen on this company. I am not keen on any auto company. And if you ask me which one is the best one, I'd probably say Ford. Ford got through the recession without having to take bailouts or anything else, and they seem to be doing pretty well. But there's nothing wrong with GM. Good, solid company at this point. Remember, they filed bankruptcy. That means every shareholder lost everything, you know, in 2008. So don't think these big blue-chip stock companies can't go out of business. They certainly can. Excuse me. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Excuse me. I'm sorry. Excuse me. So today we had the revised GDP number for the fourth quarter. It came in at, I think it was 2.2%, and it was a 2.6%, down 0.4%. But if you look a little deeper in the GDP number, you're seeing like there's two types of strength or weakness coming in. And the strength is coming from consumers. The weakness is coming from corporations. I mean, the consumption part of the GDP number is up 4.2%. And that's the largest gain since 2010. And they didn't revise that hardly at all. That didn't go down on this revision that they did for the fourth quarter. Real wages have gone up. They jumped the highest they have in 6 years. That's pretty good. So the consumer seems to be getting better and stronger, but businesses are being very cautious. Did you see the Chicago PMI? It was very bearish. Marginally increased spending this year. Maybe because of the strong dollar, and exports are having a heck of a time because our dollar, we can't export outside our country because it costs a heck of a lot more than it used to. Because the dollar's getting stronger, and everybody else in the world, every other country in the world, is trying to make their currency cheaper so they can export to us. We're not doing that. We're not playing that game at this point. Doesn't mean we won't have it in the past, because we have. I'm just saying we our corporations have a heck of a time exporting, because our goods are more expensive, and goods coming into the country are cheaper. So does that mean a strong dollar is a good thing or a bad thing? Well, it's a mix. It's a mixed bag. We are consumers. This is a consumer nation. So if on balance, you would think cheaper prices are better. And that's what I would think. Cheaper prices are better, so maybe having a strong dollar is not all bad. I just wish it wouldn't be so strong. You know, and so fast, it really picked up speed quickly. Ever since about August last year, I mean, it just spiked up, 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 up. Now, the last couple of months, it seems like it's slowing down. We'll see. 888-99-CHARTERS, you can reach us anytime. Ron has a question from San Ramon.
Hi, I had a question about Lam Research. I was looking to buy it, and I was looking at the fundamentals, and I know you guys are really good at looking at those and analyzing better than I can. Wondering if you think this is a good company to buy?
Lam Research. Could have used a symbol, everybody. Remember when you call, you got to give me Lam. Lam. advertising. LRCX. Let's see if that's it. LRCX. That's it. LRCX is a symbol. So for everybody else, whenever you call, I need the symbol so I can pull it up quickly. You know, I can look them up, but it takes time. It takes, you know, an extra 10, 15 seconds of dead airspace. Lamb Research Company out of Fremont manufactures etch and cleaning systems used in wafer fabrication, equipment for the semiconductor. That's what it does. Maybe we should pick this up after the break here. But it looks as like a solid company. But let's pick it up. Let's see if it's overpriced or not. I don't know. Take a look at it during the break. Coming up next, half hour, give us a call. Sometimes the best talks make sense. Give us a call. 888-99-CHART.
Encore presentation of Invest Talk. Please call with your questions and comments, though, 888-99-CHART, 888-99-CHART, and Steve will answer them on the next Invest Talk.
How about if I go to Jim in Chula Vista? Hi, Jim.
Hi, how are you today?
Good, thanks for calling.
Sometimes I've heard you say the price of a stock is $18.75.
Yes.
And you're going to place an order?
Yes.
But you don't buy it for $18.75, you buy it cheaper.
We try to, yes. Yeah, we always bid less.
Okay, so in other words, when you get ready to do a trade, like on Scott Trade or something, it'll have a bid and ask price?
Yep.
Okay, I didn't understand that. That's what I wanted to find out.
Yeah, our stock market, all it is an auction. Think about it, an auction. Someone is trying to sell you something, and someone else is trying to buy something. You guys got to get together on what price you want to pay for that. Well, you don't want to pay what someone is asking. You know?
That's right. You always want to get it cheaper.
That's right. We never go to what they're asking. You know? I mean, but it's hard sometimes because we see what everybody is asking. You know, we see the depth of the market where it might be difficult for you as an individual to see it. We know that there's a bid there for this much and a bid there for this much. There's an offer for this much. You know, we see it. And we say, well, I'm going to put mine right here. And we wait to see if it comes and catches us.
It's kind of like buying a house. They'll have an asking price, and then you say, well, that's a little steep, I think. I'll give you $450,
exactly.
But they're asking $480.
That's exactly what it is, except that you're talking about a piece of real estate called a stock.
Right. Very clarified. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Jim. Appreciate the call. Let's go talk to Joe in Fremont. How you doing, Joe?
I'm doing fine, Steve.
Thanks for calling.
I just received a letter from my mutual fund saying that they want to convert to a closed-end fund,
uh-huh.
And I was wondering what you thought about that.
Actually, that's not a bad thing. So what they're doing is they want to limit the number of shares they're issuing out there. They want to limit. They don't want to have unlimited. Now, what's going to happen when they do that, Joe, is that your mutual fund, instead of selling at the net asset value of the exact value of the holdings that's inside the fund, now can sell at a premium or a discount to that net asset value.
Generally, don't they sell at a discount?
Not necessarily. Right now, many of them are, yes, right now. But in bull phases, they sell at a premium. It's not necessarily a bad thing. It's probably on balance more of a good thing because they're trying to limit the number of shares. One of the reasons they do that is they're gathering too much money to stay with what they're trying to do. So trying to limit the inflow of money. And that means that the manager of that fund is saying, you know what, I'm having trouble. Every day I get another $1 billion or $100 million, and I can't invest that much money that fast. You have to figure out why he's doing it, but that is probably the best answer that you could get and probably the right answer.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. So it's not bad. Joe, thanks. Appreciate the call. 888-99-CHART is our number, 888-992-4278. And let's go to Cy in Oceanside. How you doing, Cy?
How you doing, sir?
Good.
I'm a beginning investor.
Okay.
I have a question about OCT. Are they stock, or if you buy it, are they easy to sell? Or because
OCT.
Cheap, so
what's
OCT?
What, over the counter?
Over the counter trade, right?
Oh, these are, you're talking about pink sheet stocks. They call them pink sheets.
Oh, okay.
Over the counter, it's called also pink sheets. And the reason why they call them pink sheets is because the way people file them, they are on pink paper. Don't ask me why. That's where it came from. To me, most pink sheet stocks will go out of business. Okay, I'll let you know for sure. You can make a ton of money or you can lose all your money on these stocks. And it's really not a good idea for as a beginner to even mess with any of them. They're too risky. They're usually they're very low priced, and they're usually manipulated. People push them up and down and take advantage of other people buying them. They're too easily pushed up and down. The liquidity is too small.
Okay. Thank you.
Si, I appreciate the call. We're going to go talk to Judy in San Diego. How are you doing, Judy?
Hi. Nice to hear your show. I listen every day. Unfortunately, I don't get off till 4:30, so I get the last half every day.
Oh, sorry. Well, the first half's probably no good anyway, so I don't even get warmed up. Thanks for listening, though.
I was calling about double dip recession. I know you speak about it all the time, and I think I even looked on your glossary on your website, and I didn't get an explanation. Could you give me the rundown on that?
Sure. You know, a recession is where there's 2 quarters in a row of shrinking GDP, gross domestic product, okay? That's what a recession is. So a double dip recession is like within a couple of years, 2 years. There's no real, Jody, there's no real definite definition, okay? But a double dip is where we go back into shrinking GDP within a couple of years of the first recession. That means 2 quarters of shrinkage of GDP in a row. Now, we've only had this happen once since the Great Depression, and it was caused by the second dip was that inflation was starting to take off, and the Fed started to raise the rates quickly to put a stop to the inflation that they were fearing, and that threw us right back into a recession about a year, year and a half after the first one ended. That's the double dip we're talking about.
Okay, thank you, Steve. Bye-bye.
Thank you for the call.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Invest Talk. But please call with your questions and comments. The number is 888-99-CHART. We'll answer them on tomorrow's Invest Talk. That's 888-99-CHART.
Okay, remember, we love beginner questions. Everyone who listens to this program either is a beginner or was one at that one time. So we welcome your question at 888-99-CHART. Now, what is the question?
Is that when you hear a company say it's going to buy its own stock back, that's a good thing.
Yes.
But let's say the company's current stock price is $20. What price are they buying their own stock back?
They usually buy it in the open market, just like you would do that.
Right.
What they do, if you pay attention, David, they say we're going to buy back $500 million worth of our own stock.
Right.
They'll say we'll do that over the next year, 2 years, 5 years. They'll tell you the length of time.
Oh, okay.
And they will say that, and then they don't just go out and buy it like tomorrow. No. And sometimes they'll buy it when they think it's the right time to buy it on low prices. Or the most common thing is they look for a downturn in that stock price, and they'll buy it then to try to hold the price up.
Do they, like, dollar cost average their own stock then?
They might buy $100 million today and then wait 6 months and buy another $200 million then. It's totally up to them, and they don't tell you what their plan is in detail.
Oh, okay. So has their plan ever been to drive their own stock price down purposely to buy shares?
Most of the time, no. It's to drive it up.
I mean to buy their stock back at a cheaper price.
No, they have no way to drive it down. They can't manipulate it. In other words, that would be very bad, and they would get in a lot of trouble by the SEC.
Yeah, right. But, you know, these guys get in trouble all the time for doing crazy stuff.
Oh, yeah. If your answer is could they, the answer is yes.
Okay. Yeah, right. Yeah, they could, sure.
Yeah, they certainly could. They generally don't. And you'll also find that they'll announce a buyback program, and they'll say they'll buy it back within 2 years. And 2 years pass, and they didn't fulfill their agreement to buy back their stocks. Sometimes they don't do what they say they're going to do, too.
Now, wouldn't they get in trouble for that? Because it sounds like that when you mention you're going to buy your own stock back, that would raise the price of the stock up.
You would think so. But they'll have reasons like we had better uses of the money. Maybe we wanted to put the money into buying a new company. That was an opportunity. You know, they'll come up with something. But I've seen them announce buybacks and then not actually follow through with the whole buyback.
Yeah, that's not right.
No. Appreciate it, Dave.
Yeah, thank you, Steve.
Thanks.
Bye.
Steve, Santa Rosa. How you doing, Steve?
Given the volatility that you are speaking about, as a fairly non-sophisticated investor and someone with not a whole lot of money to invest at one time. How do you feel about whole life insurance products and the cash value and the rate of return that those can give you and the lack of volatility there, too?
Okay, Steve, I'll just let you know, my background is insurance. I worked for years and years and years in the insurance business in New York City. I'll tell you, the whole life, the universal life, I really think that they do you a disservice. If you need life insurance, I've always suggested to everybody, just buy term life. It's really, really cheap. Just do this math, Steve, if you would. Take the difference between term life, you know, the premium you had to pay. Let's say you have to pay $20 a month. And then to get the same coverage, same amount of life insurance coverage, for whole life, take the difference and then start doing the math. Just put it, do a factor like they do. Use the same factor that insurance companies do to determine how much your gains are going to be over the next 10 years. You'll find that if you do it yourself, just buy an index fund in the stock market, using their same numbers, the insurance company's same numbers, you'll be light years ahead in return. Why? Because insurance companies charge a lot of money, a lot more than you imagine, on that management of those funds for you. Okay. I would not do it. You'll be a lot further ahead if you buy term and just take the difference and invest in the stock market over time.
What about the facts that the whole life is tax-deferred going in and tax-free coming out when you pull that benefit or that cash?
It's only tax-free if you annuitize it. There's capital gains tax are being built. It's tax-deferred. It's not tax-free unless you turn it into an annuity at the end of that period. And then annuities are even more expensive. It would be a lot smarter to open up a Roth IRA or a regular IRA and put that money in there.
Okay.
Just do the math. That's all I ask. Or I'll do the math for you. Call me at the office. I'll show you. And I don't sell an insurance box. I don't care. I just don't like them. I worked in that industry. They're not bad. I'm not saying they're bad. It's just that I know you can do better in a different way.
Even without the risk? I mean, the insurance products I see that I'm at least looking at seem that there's almost no risk.
Yeah, they like to tell you that. It's amazing how they like to say that, but then they tell you to invest in the stock market, or they invest your money in the stock market, because they know in any 10-year period in history, the stock market has always gone up. That's how they can say that. The annuity part, they like to guarantee your returns. They'll never go below this if you did. But you know what? I meet too many people that are still stuck in their whole life and universal life, and they really can't get out of it. If they sell it early, they'll get hit with these big tax bites. Steve, I'm telling you, it's not the best way to go.
All right, thanks.
Good luck. Thanks for listening. 888-99-CHARTER is our number, everybody. You can reach us. We have lines open, 888-992-4278. How about Chris in San Diego? How you doing, Chris?
Hi, Steve. How are you?
I'm great, and I appreciate you calling.
The other day, I heard you talk to another gentleman with regards to TSP monies and rolling it out when you're eligible to roll it out. And I'll be having to roll mine out in about 3.5 years. Mm-hmm. Would I roll that into an IRA?
Yes, you would.
Would it be a taxable IRA or a Roth IRA?
Nope, it'd be a non-taxable IRA. It won't be a Roth. It'd be a regular IRA. It depends on the money we're talking about. I'm assuming the TSP money we're talking about is retirement money that has not been taxed.
Correct.
Therefore, you will roll into a regular IRA.
I see.
But when you get closer, Chris, you want to talk to an accountant, talk to me again, because rules change. You know?
Okay.
Because you're talking 3 years from now, it's just still a ways to go.
Yeah, and I'm putting in about 10% into that.
Good for you.
So, yeah,
now, Chris, I want everybody to do that. That is more than most people would ever consider.
Well, listening to you guys, how could a person not?
Well, I appreciate that, Chris. If I can get just one person to do that, I'm happy. I can't get my own family to do that, so they won't do it.
You
Chris, how old are you?
A lot of common sense. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Let's go talk to Bud in San Francisco. How you doing, Bud?
I'd just like to make a comment. I've probably put together over about 50 or more of the reverse mortgages for seniors. I happen to be a senior myself. I'm 66. And I have yet to have anybody have any negative problems with the program. They all have been happy. We've gotten a lot of referrals from people that have taken them for other people. The only thing that's happened more recently, obviously, is in the decline in the value of the homes has caused a lot of the people to have problems because they don't have enough equity. You usually have to have at least about a third equity in your home.
for everybody else, if you already have a reverse mortgage and the value of your property goes down, that doesn't trigger anything.
No.
So don't worry about that once you already have it. Bud's talking about if you're going to get a reverse mortgage and the value of your equity has gone down, you're not going to get as much money as you might thought you could have before.
Yes, yeah. And it's caused quite a few people to not qualify because, like I mentioned, you have to have about a third equity in your home, and a lot of them have dropped below that. So one of the advantages, however, recently they've raised the limit, so more expensive homes have been able to do that because, as you've mentioned, a lot of people have lost a lot of equity in their portfolios, and for their retirement, it's not there. So some people have resorted to this. It's not the first thing you'd want to do, but it's been very, very beneficial to a lot of seniors.
Yeah, I hope I'm not coming across, Bud, as that you should not do this. My point is, it's not just not your first choice. It's more, but if you have to do it, you want to stay your home, it is a good choice.
Yes, exactly. And one of the reasons for the higher costs on a reverse mortgage is it's guaranteed by FHA. Mm-hmm. So that if anything happens to the lender on the mortgage, they're going to back it up and make sure that you get your payments.
Yeah. Remember, you don't pay a dime. They don't know when you're going to die.
That's correct.
You could live to your 110. You still don't pay a dime. So
that's right.
They're taking a big risk. The bank that's issuing that loan is taking a big risk that they're not going to see that money for a number of years. Of course, they go by the mortality tables and things. But, you know, if you're 63, you're going to probably live till 90. Maybe you could give an example of how much, let's say a person has $500,000 equity in their home. How much can they get? Can they get like $250,000, $300,000?
It all depends upon the equity and how old they are. If you go in at 62, obviously you're going to get a lot less money than if you're 70 years old. And there's a fairly complicated computation that they make based upon that and also on the zip code that you're in. You really can't come out with anything kind of broad-based. You really have to make the calculation.
But I appreciate the call. I really do.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much. I'm Money Manager Steve Peasley, and we're here to help you get better results, if we can, with your invested dollars. That's our goal. Do you have a question? Check in now, 888-99-CHART.
Good advice. Spread your money around. Stick to a well-thought-out plan for carefully divvying up your money so no single calamity will destroy your portfolio. Want to talk about it? 888-99-CHART is how to get through right now. We thank you for subscribing to our podcast. Is there one rule that gives us clear asset allocation guidelines? What investments should you hold and at what age? That's our talking point next time. Be sure to join us on Invest Talk. Listening to an encore presentation of Invest Talk. Please call with your questions and comments, though, 888-99-CHART, 888-99-CHART, and Steve will answer them on the next Invest Talk.
Jason in Chula Vista, how are you doing, Jason?
Good, good. If I were going to use a trailing stop, or do you even recommend that at all? How would I use it?
Jason, I don't really care what kind of stop you use. You can have a trailing stop. You can have a certain price that you change every day because the stock is moving up and you want to tighten up stops because of what's happening. Jason, all I ask is for people to have some kind of system that they're using. And if it works, keep it. If it's not working and you're getting in and out of stocks too fast, then that means your system needs to be tweaked.
Okay.
But there's nothing wrong with trailing stops. A trailing stop is when, let's say the stock is moving up and it has been moving up for months here or weeks. You keep moving your stop up as the stock price goes up. That means if it's 8% off its high, you get out.
That's what I'm looking at. Rather than going in and adjusting just a regular stop periodically, I'm looking at just putting a 5 or an 8% or 10% trailing stop.
That makes sense, Jason. Well, the time you'll take a look at it and say, what percent should I put on this stock, is you got to look at the volatility of that individual stock. For instance, some stocks go up 3 to 5% a day and down the same amount. Well, an 8% trailing stop might be too tight. Maybe a 10% would be better, or you know, a 12%. But if a stock only goes up very small and down very small and it's on an upward path, then you could tighten up the stop. Make it a 5% stop.
Okay.
Look at the individual volatility. Just having across the board doesn't necessarily always work.
That answers my question. Thank
Thanks,
you.
Thanks, Jason. Appreciate the call. Let's go to Mike in San Diego. How are you doing, Mike?
I had a question about loaded versus non-loaded mutual funds.
Okay.
You know, obviously, the prudent guy would err towards the non-loaded funds to kind of save money and right. initially up front, return right. on your investment, that type of thing.
Yes.
But I recently read something on like A shares versus B shares and some of those arguments.
Right.
And I was kind of confused on what is the actual benefit of a loaded fund, or is there any?
I will always tell you never buy a loaded fund because you can find just as good managers in no load funds. So why buy a loaded fund? And let me explain that to the other listeners. A loaded mutual fund is one where you pay a commission to buy it. There are no load funds, meaning no commission funds out there also. A loaded fund is sold to you by somebody, and they make that commission, usually 5%. A loaded fund could make up that 5% and make a ton of money and would be fine. You could do that. But the loaded fund has to overcome that commission before you start making money. So the process is, why buy a loaded fund when you can buy a no-load fund and you don't have to have that, you don't have that hurdle? Of course, there are some very good managers in loaded funds. But there's also very good managers with no-load funds. So my take is always buy a no-load fund. That problem is that means that puts homework to you to find them. A lot of people don't want to go through that work. They just go to a broker and let him decide, and he'll put you in a loaded fund because that's how he makes his money.
Now, what about the
A shares, B shares, C shares?
How does that play into?
When you talk about loaded funds, they have different ways to charge a commission. Sometimes it's upfront 5%. Those are called A shares, Mike. They're always upfront 5%. You give them $1,000, they're going to take 5% of that right off the top, and you're only going to be investing, you know, $950.
Right.
That's A shares. B shares are, they're going to charge you that same 5%, but they're going to charge you only 1% after each of the next 5 years. 1% of whatever the value is after each of the 5 years. These are what these A, B, C, D, and goes on and on and on. Different methods of getting their commission from you. Now, if you ask me which is better, A shares, B shares, C shares, I will tell you A shares up front. Why? Well, because if you bought B shares and they charge you 1% a year, they charge it on the value of the fund. So the fund grew 10% the first year. You're paying 10% more fee.
Yeah, exactly.
Second year, if it grew 20% over the 2 years, you're paying 20% more fee, 1% again.
Okay.
So A shares, if you're going to buy a load fund, I'd rather see you buy A shares.
It's not like a bond rating where it's the quality of the investment.
No, okay. It has nothing to do with that.
Okay.
Nothing,
that's,
Mike.
That's where I was confused. Okay.
Okay?
Great, thanks.
Thanks for the call.
Part of the InvestTalk experience is visiting our website, investtalk.com. And one of the reasons for a visit is Steve's market commentary. Just go to investtalk.com and scroll down to his market commentary.
Before we go, you can see more about today's topic. Go to investtalk.com and click on the Investability Center banner. You'll see it right there in the front of, right in the middle of investtalk.com. Can't miss it. If you want to ask me a question off the air, you can call 888-99-CHART. Leave it on the machine. I'll be happy to answer to you. You want to contact me directly? Easy. Leave a message on the machine or go to investtalk.com and click on the Contact Us button. That's an email that comes to me. Okay. I'm Money Manager Steve Peasley, and I want to thank you for listening.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.